Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sunday, Christian Arkin, Mego, Shime Time, and joining us on the phone right now, NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Curran, who you can hear in the pregame show, postgame show. You can see him, too. You don't just hear him. You can see him visually as well. And he joins us right now on the phone. Hello, Mr. Curran. How are we doing today?
Hello, friends. Nice to be brought in by the Clash off of Combat Rock, Rock the Casbah.
I got to tell you, Jacob is going wild back there today.
He's feeling it.
With the rejoin music. For Fitzy, we had an entire Van Halen 10-minute guitar solo, and we got Rock the Casbah for Tom E. Curran. Are the Patriots going to rock the Casbah today in Arizona, Tommy? What do you think is going to happen out there after a bye week late in the season?
I think this is going to be a fun one. Kyler Murray, the Patriots, when they speed teams up, they've had mixed results, but Kyler Murray's against the blitz this season has not been spectacular. So maybe DeMarcus Covington speeds things up a little bit, and their defense, their front, the Arizona Cardinals front, is not that potent. So I could see a little bit of a shootout in the desert.
Tommy, as we have these four games left, we've seen a lot of great stuff from Drake May through. What do you think is there anything that he's left on the table that you want to see him do through these last four games as you head into the offseason?
Sure, a little run pass option, some more design runs, or any design runs really for May, and just continue to take care of the ball the way he did in the last outing against Indianapolis. I thought that was one of his best games. So, look, they've had, Mego, 2 weeks to prepare for this, and they took some downtime, obviously, with the bye week, but I think the way that they have trended offensively with Alex Van Pelt kind of really gaining some traction with what he wanted to do, tight ends contributing, two backs contributing with Antonio Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson. I think the stage is set for them to be better than competent, maybe even, dare I say, a little bit explosive. I think that would be the aspiration is, you know, I've mentioned a million times that going back to before the season began, what they want to do is emulate what the New England Patriots of 1993 did. That was a 1-11 team under Bill Parcells, better coach than Gerard has shown to be and more experienced, but they had a rookie quarterback in Drew Bledsoe, and by the end of the season, they finished 4-0 down the stretch. Not asking for 4-0. They're playing much better teams, but be a potent team that you have said you wanted to be that no one wants to play.
Tom, with Cole Strange coming off the PUP list and making his return back to the team, do you expect to see him anytime soon? And are they really going to try him at center? Because for any draft nerds out there like myself who have watched him at the Senior Bowl get absolutely worked at center, I'm not that confident.
Well, the Senior Bowl was, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, I think that he's probably gotten better. And even in his time at guard, it has been disappointing relative to where he was drafted, but he's not a complete mannequin. I mean, he has started many games and been part of some wins and some successful days. So I would say try him at center, see how it goes. I mean, it's Ben Brown. He's played nobly as a guy who was just kind of plucked off the street, but I don't see the damage in finding out what you have because that's what these four games are about. So I'm more of a mind. I wouldn't say, oh my God, you can't do that. Wouldn't you rather find out what they have, Shine?
I guess. I just feel like I've seen enough from Cole Strange. I don't think he's very good. And moving him, I feel like the Patriots are, they love to move guys off positions that they feel comfortable in, like with Onwenu, moving him all around the offensive line when clearly he wants to play guard and feels most comfortable. And I just feel like moving a guy who is naturally a guard and putting him at center is a mistake. So, like, if you want to play him at guard instead of Laydon Robinson and give Cole Strange some run, like, great, go for it. But I just feel like moving him to center is a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, well, what's the worst thing that happens? They lose?
You get Drake May hurt because he stinks.
Yeah, well, he's elusive. Drake is.
I know.
Part of the cost of doing business, friend.
It's true. Fair point.
It certainly is. We're talking with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tom, everybody's talking about the Patriots and seeing what they have on offense here in these last four games. I want to see what they have on defense in a way because I feel like the defense has been much more of a letdown this year than the offense, which we all sort of expected to struggle, and we expected to have kind of a hard time even with this rookie quarterback playing over his head here. Is there anybody on the defense that you're sort of looking at and thinking, hey, you know, you might be playing for your job here or you might be playing for a contract in this last month? Does anybody sort of fit that bill for you?
I wouldn't necessarily say the person who rises first to my mind is someone who's playing for their job, but I think that Kyle Duggar's performance this year, and it has been injury hampered, but what is his performance level going to be like over the last four games, and why is it like that? So the Patriots, there's some good safeties in this draft, very good safeties in this draft. Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar should be safeties that you can rely on, Marte Mapu as well, but is Duggar going to perform at the level of a $17 million a year player? You know, you want to see that so that you can move on and say, okay, we can build a corner instead, because I believe the Patriots really should be pursuing corners as well as edge players, as many others. So, and I'd like to see, I honestly don't think they have anything on the edge that's noteworthy right now that you'd say, okay, that's a developing young pass rusher. Anthony Jennings, Keon White, obviously is a very good player, but they just don't have enough potency there. I don't even know if anybody can emerge and make you say, oh, okay, that gives me pause. They might be all set with that. So those are two positions, edge and safety, where I'd like to see something that signals that maybe there's someone you can build around there and build around. You can already build around Duggar, but Duggar and Peppers, I'd like to see the stability we saw in the first week of the year when they brought everyone to the ground immediately after catches against the Cincinnati Bengals. Their coverage was excellent. Their run defense was excellent. So a little more of that.
Tom, you spent a lot of this week examining Bill Belichick's move to UNC. And then yesterday we get a couple reports about somebody reaching out to the Jets on his behalf and even him personally reaching out to the Jets. What do you make of those reports?
I just heard you guys discussing that with Fitzy, and I would imagine that it's probably just checking the final box. Hey, just make sure the Jets don't want me. I mean, I don't want to go there, but, you know, just double check with them. So I would imagine it was more in that vein. Yeah, I don't like you. You don't like me, so you definitely don't hire me, right? Okay, cool.
Just checking.
Probably more like that. But I would, going just plainly off of not having any contact with Bill nor his camp on it, I would imagine that was the sentiment involved. I just can't imagine that he was going to say, yeah, I was just kidding about that stuff with you being nitwits down here. So I can't imagine it being straight-faced serious.
But it does imply that he put feelers out for basically every single other team in the league then, right? I mean, maybe other than the Patriots. If he's talking to the Jets, that means he was talking to everybody, doesn't it?
Certainly where there's openings. I don't think he's talking to the Rams, but I think certainly where there were openings, he's talking to the Jaguars, the Bears. And you could actually infer a lot of that by just listening to what Mike Lombardi's talking about. Mike Lombardi kind of speaks for him, and it's good to have that. I think that he was transparent. Now, Mike Lombardi took a side swipe at Shad Khan's son, Tony, and talking about owner sons who are in analytics. He took a side swipe, I think, at the Chicago Bears multiple times and talking about how that team was run at the top. I do find it interesting, too, when Lombardi or Belichick talk about nepotism in the owner's boxes when both of them have made sure to pave the way for their kids to be involved in coaching at multiple levels. And it's, look, there's nothing wrong with trying to set your kids up for success, but you can't have it both ways.
Tom, do you feel like this ever leads to Bill coming back? Because it just feels gross and reeks of desperation and like there's just no chance he ever sets foot in the NFL again.
No, I don't think he'll come back.
Yeah.
He's 72, and if people are telling him now, yep, too old, too much to work with, what's he going to prove at the college level that makes pro teams say, definitely, let's uproot everything and have Bill come back? You do that with a 41-year-old or 38-year-old head coach in college, not a 72-year-old head coach. And, you know, it's a combination of factors that leads to Bill being in college right now. And I don't find it that repellent, personally. I think, and I said this on Thursday when I was on with you guys, I think it would have been a sadder state of affairs seeing him going hat in hand to Jacksonville or Chicago and him just being on the sidelines, moping around, trying to wring whatever he can out of Caleb Williams or Trevor Lawrence when Bill's main – people forget that the main factor in Bill, wherever he's been, whether it's Bernie Kosar or Drew Bledsoe or eventually with Tom Brady, eventually he's going to sour – or Mac Jones, eventually he's going to say, I can't stand this guy. So that's what happened probably with either any place he went in the NFL.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Tommy Curran, thanks so much for the time. You can see him today on NBC Sports Boston pre- and post-game, and you can hear him on basically every single show on WEEI. Tommy, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, that's Mr. Curran there joining us here on WEEI Football Sunday. Quick break. Here's Chris Schein with What's Trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Week 15 of the NFL season is here. Your New England Patriots are in Arizona. They'll take on the Cardinals today. Kickoff for that one is at 4:25. Some news and notes from around the league for you. Max Crosby needs ankle surgery. He's done for the year. Cowboys' Trevon Diggs also needs surgery. He is done for the year. The Jets reportedly plan to interview John Robinson, former member of the Patriots front office, and you'll know him best for being the GM of the Tennessee Titans, and Lewis Riddick of ESPN for their vacant GM positions. The slate for today is as follows. Chiefs at Browns, Bengals at Titans, Commanders at Saints, Ravens at Giants, Cowboys at Panthers, Jets at Jaguars, and Dolphins at Texans in the 4 o'clock window. It is loaded. We got Colts at Broncos, Bucks at Chargers, Bills at Lions, and Steelers at Eagles. And then tonight, the Green Bay Packers head to Seattle to take on the Seahawks in a very heavy playoff implications matchup there. Last night, Arcan's guy Travis Hunter of Colorado came away with the Heisman Trophy. The Bruins killed the Canucks last night 5-1 in Vancouver. Pasta had a goal and three assists in the game. Celtics are in D.C. this afternoon or this evening to take on the Wizards. Tip off for that one is at 6 o'clock. Al Horford is out of that game for your Boston Celtics. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
We're rocking pretty hard today.
Love it.
Rocking pretty hard today on WEEI Football Sunday. It's Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini, Chris Scheim, all here with you until 1 o'clock. when the 1 o'clock kickoffs begin. We will have our pop, lock, and drop later on in the program. We'll also talk with Wiggy and get Wiggy's keys, which are coming up here. Andy Hart joins the show at 12:30. But coming up in just a few minutes, we will have the inactives for the 1 o'clock games. We won't know who the Patriots inactives are going to be until later on in the day, so we can't really help you there. But if you're playing fantasy football, if you got a little something on some of these games, we can give you the info there as best we can. Do we want to continue our Travis Hunter debate, or do we want to talk Bill Belichick here before the inactives come out?
Let's talk Bill Belichick.
All right. Because we could argue about Travis Hunter all day.
That's a conversation that won't be productive.
I gasped when I read that Jets thing.
You're like,
I did as well.
I said, your chest.
I fainted on my fainting couch. I was shocked.
It was kind of nice that Mego
shocked.
And I came on the air right after it came out.
Oh, yeah. What a great time for that. I mean, that was such a... It was almost like I had to like triple check and make sure I wasn't getting sports ball sacked or whatever. You know what I mean? I thought for sure there's no way he was talking to the Jets. No way he reached out to the Jets after literally negging them all year. For him to do that, I think is pretty funny.
I think
that's an objectively funny thing for him to have done. And people are like, oh, that's so sad. Oh, he's so desperate to get back into the NFL.
It bummed me out. I didn't like it.
I thought it was very funny.
Tommy Curran said, like, just to check in, like, hey, I'm just checking off all the boxes, making sure that I check on every single person. Like, why check on them? You don't want to go there. You don't like them.
What do you think
they
the Jets
like
said?
You.
What do you think they said to him?
They, like, that the report
they thought they got Eric shunned, and
right.
They're like, wait, is this really Bill Belichick? Especially because he called himself.
Right.
That is what blew my mind. It was like, okay, Diana Rossini is like, yeah, his inner circle reached out, and then Jonathan Jones comes out and goes, no, Bill Belichick called himself. That to me is what reeked of desperation. Like, oh God, I just need to get back in the NFL. Maybe the Jets will take me. I hate them. They hate me. But maybe we can, bygones can be bygones, and I can be the head coach of the NYJ again.
And Jonathan Jones's report said that they told him they were just very, very early in their coaching search.
Correct.
Which feels horrible to me. I disagree. I think it's sad. Like, I want to find the humor in it, but it just really bums me out.
You don't find any humor in it?
Oh, I do.
Not really. It just bums me out a lot. I'm sorry. It's like, I know that tragedy and comedy are very close. It really bums me out.
I had to listen to Wiggy and Greg tell me all week how Bill Belichick was definitely coming back to the NFL now that he took an NCAA job. And then that report came out, and I laughed audibly. And I could hear Curtis laughing from 10 miles away. It is remarkable.
You two are doing a yeoman's job with Wiggy and Greg this week because those two are on planet Zippy when it comes
to still
Belichick.
Convinced he was coming back because he took the clause in his contract, the buyout clause means he's coming back to the NFL.
Okay.
I'm like, no, it doesn't. He put that
it
in
means
there.
He wants to. Is
yes,
that right?
Yeah, absolutely wants. I think both things can be true. I think Bill Belichick desperately wants to be a head coach of the NFL again.
That's
but
obvious.
I also believe that no one in the NFL wants him to be a head coach of the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that there's only a few teams with openings right now, and maybe he had a decision to make if he wanted to do this UNC thing or not, and he had to do it quickly before the transfer portal opened and everything else. Fine. All that's fine. But he didn't have to reach out to the Jets.
He also didn't have to go to UNC. He has his cushy media jobs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, if he wants to coach again, so he has to find a job to coach again.
I guess. But like, if you were that desperate to be in the NFL,
you wait till Black Monday,
to leave your options open, you just keep your media jobs and you don't take a college job. But clearly he was like, oh, nothing's going to come for me in the NFL. I need to go do something. And
it
so
does
went to
feel
NCAA.
Like a bit of a scramble. And it's interesting that right after the deal was finalized, we got these reports. We had Ollie Connolly, who had the original report. He wrote a
what
long
a week
piece
for
about
Ollie
it.
Connolly.
Awesome
yeah,
job.
Banger job
what
by
a,
him.
What a week for
ESPN
him.
ESPN Seth Wickersham had another one of his like 10,000-word essays all about what happened.
Clearly that was directly from Bill Belichick, though. Big F you to the NFL, Mike
right.
Tookus.
And it was all about how this was a six-month operation to get this UNC thing together. And then you see that just a couple of weeks ago, he's calling the Jets. I don't know. Some of it is just not lining up to me, and I'd love to know what the real story here
is. I thought the saddest part was that they, what you just said in the Wickersham thing, the F you to the NFL.
Oh.
Like, okay, now we're just living in fantasy land.
The same NFL.
I said to Mego, it's like a car driving away, giving you the bird, and you screaming back, F you, dude, like as they're just driving away. That's what it was.
And they also like sprayed a bunch of mud in your face.
Yeah, the NFL gave him the biggest F you possible. He's like, yeah, F you too, man, I hate you. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. You can't fire me, I quit type of thing.
Yes,
but
exactly.
But you already got fired. Like, you know,
same energy.
That's basically what it is. And I think that to me was the saddest part of it. Yeah, the NFL's changed. Sure, of course it has. He's been in the NFL for 50 years, basically, this guy.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, I understand. You didn't always want to be a college coach. I thought that part of the press conference was a little sad, too. Where he's like, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to be a college coach. I just could never get out of my very lucrative NFL job to go do it. It's like, all right, Bill, like, you're laying it on a little thick here. We all know why you're doing this. We all understand it. It all makes sense. You want the power, and I think that has a lot to do with it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wasn't willing to relinquish anything. And if you want to position it in a way that makes Belichick not look kind of pathetic, then you say, all right, he wasn't willing to compromise on this, this, and this. And no matter what, going back to the NFL, chasing Shula's record, he wasn't going to compromise his principles when it comes to the power structure and who he wants to bring with him and what they want to get paid and setting up his kids and all that other crap. Like, that's the way you position it, but they didn't do it that way. They made it seem like I decided I didn't want to go to the NFL. No. You were calling the Jets, Bill. You wanted to go to the NFL.
I also think that report, the Diana Rossini report, doesn't come out if he doesn't do the Seth Wickersham thing. Mm. If he doesn't say, yeah, this is my FU to the NFL, the NFL doesn't look back at him and go, oh, really? you sure about that, bud? You sure about that?
So and you think that was like a direct response?
Yeah,
that
100%.
Somebody leaked to Rossini in that way.
Yeah, because Bill was making it out to seem that he was bigger and better than the NFL, and that the NFL was like, yeah, we're not gonna cower to Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick's like, F you to the NFL, and then the NFL's like, no. You came crawling to us hat in hand, tail between your legs, looking for jobs. We wouldn't give them to you. And now you're going to the NCAA.
Is it possible that it's just Bill's age? Like, somebody needs to have the Biden conversation here.
Ooh.
And just say, like, I'm sorry, dude. The reason why they're not calling you back is because they're looking for a 5 to 7 year plan, at least, for their franchise. And you look like a 3 year guy.
Yeah, at least he knows like what direction to walk in and how to not fall off a bike. But yeah, I get it. I guess that's similar. I guess it could be similar. Yeah, like there's a chance.
I think that's a huge part of it. I think it's a huge.
I feel like that's what a lot of people.
I don't know, he seems pretty with it.
Bad teams that fire their coaches are trying to plan for the future.
Yeah.
And the future with Bill Belichick is limited.
And not only is it just like the future, but you know that you're bringing on somebody who wants to bring on half his family. He wants to bring on people who have been fired elsewhere all around the league. He wants to run the personnel department, and he probably wants to replace a lot of the people who are working for that franchise.
That may be true, but like I think I look at the New York Giants, and it's like the perfect opportunity. They are so – it can't get any worse in New York. They might be the first team in NFL history to go 0-9 at home in a regular season.
Aren't they like their line is like 16.5 this week?
Yeah, 16.5 in favor of the Ravens, yes.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing what's happening in New York. And Bill's connection with the Giants would make sense. And it's so bad that they're flushing everything anyways. So you allow Bill to come in with his guys. And if things don't work out in 2 years, you flush
it
all again anyways.
Right.
Like, it doesn't – you're so bad, it's worth the risk. Clearly, though, the rest of the NFL doesn't even feel like it's worth the risk in the worst possible scenarios. And I think that's, to me, what's, like, so damning about this.
I know. And that's sort of the point is that if you wait until Black Monday, then a playoff team could fire their coach, right?
Yeah.
You know, a playoff team that can't quite get out of that wild
the
card
Ravens,
round.
The Ravens, as Wiki wants to tell you, or the 49ers,
Buffalo,
or whatever.
You know?
Buffalo,
I mean, there's teams. There's I don't think
McDermott
any of them are
pees
do
down
it,
his leg like he did the other week in the playoffs. Do they just be like, all right, we're done with you?
Sirianni, you know, like there's examples of guys who you look at, and even McCarthy. Well, McCarthy, they're not a playoff team, but you know what I mean?
That
like,
team stinks.
There's examples of that, and he's not waiting around for that, and he's not waiting around for it because he was just so blown away by North Carolina. He was putting feelers out and not getting anything back that he thought was worth, you know, pursuing. So that's why he's not waiting. That's why he's not waiting for Black Monday. That's why he went to UNC. And listen, by the way, I'm excited to watch UNC football.
Me too.
Next year.
I'm thrilled.
I think this is going to be great. Like I think this is a cool thing that's going on here. I'd rather he was still in the NFL, but I do think that there's a chance that this either goes really well or it fails spectacularly. And either way, it's going to be very entertaining.
See, I think it's going to be in the middle. I think it's going to be pretty pedestrian. I think it's going to be something where
pedestrian would be a failure, I think.
Well, okay.
You open it up for $20 million in NIL money.
When you say like it's going to be a spectacular failure, I don't think they're going to have a losing record. I think they're just going to be a pedestrian bowl team, kind of like, honestly, like a little bit of a step above BC, and that's where they'll be.
See, I think they'll be in the ACC championship game in 2 years. Like, I think the college football game...
They should be, with $20 million in NIL money.
And the way Belichick coaches, right? The way Belichick wants to win football games...
When Belichick starts telling kids not to leave their dorm rooms and bother coming to practice because he doesn't like them anymore...
I think that all that is a little overblown. Like, I think he'll be a little different than he was here. He's not as jaded there as he was here. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a little bit more of that friendly Bill that you get in the media that will be there in UNC, and the constant
chill Bill.
And the constant turnover of players is going to allow for him to not be graded by players like Mac Jones or Tom Brady or anything, because he's not with them for long enough and they're not with him long enough that they're jaded by him. And so I think, like, if there is a spot that Bill would have success, to me, college football makes a lot of sense. Harbaugh has shown you, Georgia has shown you can win running the football and playing defense, which is exactly what Bill wants to do. And then the constant rotation of players in and out of the organization makes it easier for him.
Yeah, you don't get sick of him fast. Exactly,
100%.
You know, the guy's pissing you off, he's out of there in 2 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937, as we await the inactives to be released for the 1 o'clock slate of games. Allison is in Cambridge with a thought on Bill Belichick. Hi, Allison. Hi, guys.
Good morning, guys. I have kind of just a small point to make, which is this idea of the Giants. Don't the Giants think less of him because he was the one who pushed Joe Judge upon them? He was the one who gave a strong recommendation for Joe Judge. And if he coached there, he'd want to bring Joe Judge back with him.
It's a good point. Allison, I hadn't even thought of that. It's a very, very good point. Thanks for the call. He has, and I don't know if he's pushed all these guys on other people, but he has given recommendations.
Brian
Daboll,
he was very strong on, because he accidentally texted Brian Flores.
Right, wrong, yeah. Brian. But yeah, and that was one of the success stories. I hate to put it that way, because Daboll is now probably on the hot seat as well. But Daboll has been one of the better coaches from the Belichick tree that's gone out on his own. Him and O'Brien, and that's basically it. I mean, other than that, everybody else has been a
stunk.
Colossal failure, including Judge, including Patricia, including McDaniels in two different stops.
I thought Flores was good, and he got jobbed, but that's a whole different
thing. He did.
Flores
by the Dolphins,
is,
I agree
sneaky
with that.
Disorganized down there, though.
Sure, that's fair. I think he's a really good coach.
Tua, like, hated him.
Yeah, Tua despised him. Yeah. But again, like, he came in and he planned on starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's why he brought in Chan Gailey to devise the offense for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then Tua was thrusted upon him. So I think that was just a whole organizational mess more than it was Flores' fault.
This kind of goes back to what happened with Atlanta with Bill last season, though.
Yeah.
Because you have to wonder. And Tommy Curran was talking about this on Ryan Russillo's podcast, because I think he was asked something along the lines of how much did the Crafts kind of put their thumb on the scale when it came to that Atlanta job for Bill? And Tom said something along the lines of, well, if your friend, a fellow owner, asks you for an honest opinion, what are you going to do? Like, your hands are tied.
Yeah.
And I could understand how with the Giants, that could be something that comes back to haunt Bill. It's like, you said that Joe Judge is going to be a great head coach.
Right.
You recommended him for this, and look at where it got us, and like, we're a mess now. So how do we trust your judgment?
Yeah, and the first hire he makes at UNC is Freddie Kitchens, who worked for Joe Judge in New York. So clearly he still has those relationships up and running,
and look,
no problem.
Just because you get fired as a head coach in the league doesn't mean you're a bad coach. Like,
and also doesn't mean the organization hates you either. I mean, look at Vance Joseph. Got fired as the head coach of the Broncos. Now he's back there as the defense coordinator and doing great.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, Belichick got fired from Cleveland. So, I mean, there's lots of examples of that. We have inactives. Not all of them, but I can give you the important names here from Ian Rappaport. This came out just about, thank you very much. Just about 30 seconds ago, the Jets running back, Breece Hall, he's been questionable all week. He is playing this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a Jaguars team that will be led by Mac Jones, who, by the way, very good numbers against the Jets versus the spread, anyway. I was reading that. He's like 5-0 in his games against the Jets.
He's also he's had an interception in 7 straight starts, and a Mac Jones interception today, only -125.
That's
another,
that
out
right? That's another thing that really bums me out.
Just throwing that. Why?
Mac Jones.
Because I feel bad for him.
It's hilarious. No, it's tremendous. It's a great money-making opportunity.
You guys
he stinks.
So delighted by other people's failures.
I couldn't be more delighted by the failure of Mac Jones. Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Hey, they won last week.
He sucks.
Why do
he's
you have
so
like a
bad.
Personal vendetta against
he's
him?
He's a douche, and he's terrible at football. And
that's
all
so
these
mean.
All these people that were like, oh, Mac Jones is the next coming. I was like, you boobs, stop it. He stinks. And sure enough,
hello.
He stunk.
It
he
is
got,
amazing.
He got a raw deal, but I'm very happy to watch Drake May now.
I think he's proven now. I mean, you got to be able to recover from something like that after
he
a bad
can.
Couple seasons. And
not
he
a resilient,
been able to.
Not a, one of the more resilient quarterbacks.
I
I've
do
seen.
Think he got screwed over, but isn't it amazing how 3 years ago, I've said this before, it's amazing how 3 years ago, Bill Belichick drafted Mac Jones. They win 10 games. They're a playoff team. Mac Jones is a Pro Bowler. He came in second to Chase, I think, for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And people were talking about Bill back then. Ryan Clark called him God. He was like, he's God. in Foxborough. Yep. Look at this. He's got his guy. Brady's winning Super Bowl. Big deal. Belichick's got his guy, and this is going to be the next generation of Patriots football. And just you watch, Bill's still got it. He's got his quarterback, special coach, blah, 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 blah. And now a couple years later, Bill's at UNC, and Mac Jones is throwing an interception a day and backing up Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's amazing how fast things can unravel in this league.
It's tremendous. Yeah. I'm here for it.
All right.
The beautiful cycle of the NFL never ceases to amaze me.
It's true. Also, out, David Njoku, Browns tight end. So keep in mind, that's a tough game they have anyway.
Big Jerry Jeudy day. Come on.
Kansas City, yeah. Jerry Jeudy may get a lot of snaps and a lot of looks with Njoku out against Kansas City. That game's in Cleveland, right? I think it is.
Yes, it is.
The Commanders, their kicker, Zane Gonzalez, is out. And Titans running back Tony Pollard, who was questionable all week, will be playing for the Titans today. So there you go. There's more actives and inactives. Those are the main
ones. Because you mentioned
it,
can I ask a question?
Sure.
How do we feel about the Browns hosting the Chiefs today? Because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of buying into the possibility of Jameis magic today.
I would love it. I mean, don't. I think the entire country wants to see that.
Right.
The entire country wants to see Jameis Winston beat Patrick Mahomes.
And the Kansas City Chiefs defense hasn't been great as of late.
True.
The Kansas City can't score points as of late.
It's not going to happen, Shyam.
Kansas City squeaks all
of these out, and it's extremely annoying.
But there's a non-zero chance that Jameis goes for like 300 plus and three touchdowns today, right?
Incredible.
Without a star tight end, though.
Against the Chiefs, I don't think so. I mean, maybe. Listen, I'd be rooting for it, obviously, but I'm going to go with what always happens in every single Chiefs
conference game.
God delivered me from pick sixes today. That's what I need.
Hallelujah.
That was the quote of the year.
That was the
greatest
quote I've ever heard.
Every time he opens his mouth, it's the quote of the year. He's incredible. He's like, might be my favorite person that's been in the NFL.
Well, this is interesting. KJ Osborne, inactive today.
Shocker.
How about that?
Great pickup.
So is Tyler Conklin, Keaton Mitchell, and Zane Gonzalez, I already said him. Pollard and Breece Hall are playing. That is according to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. I have not gone to each individual team's Twitter feed to see if these are all correct. I'm just going to trust those guys because they tend to not just tweet things out without knowing what they're saying. So there you go. 617-779-7937. Very excited to announce that Wiggy's Keys return today. We will hear his keys to the game. Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals kicking off later on in the afternoon at 4 o'clock or 4:25?
4:25.
4:25 kickoff there out in the desert. Keys to the game with Wiggy next. WEEI Football Sunday. It's Christian Arcan. It's Mego. It's Chris Scheim, a.k.a. Scheim Time. Jacob, young Jacob in the back there, playing all your favorite hits from the 70s back to back to back here on this Sunday morning. And now it is time to hear from Coach Wiggy and the keys to the game, Patriots and the Cardinals. That's your key number one.
It's your boy Wiggy here. My three keys to the game, very simple. You got to be able to create turnovers. One issue, an area that the Patriots struggles to be able to create turnovers.
No argument there. That is something they've not been able to do much this year. It's also something the Cardinals don't really do, so that could play into their favor as well. These are two teams that don't really rush the passer very well. They have one player in the secondary that's pretty good. They kind of mirror each other in some ways, you would say. And I think that that's something, the Patriots, they haven't really been forcing turnovers since the Chicago game. Were there even a lot of turnovers in that game? I just remember Williams getting sacked a lot. Since then, I don't know. I mean, that's something I'd like to see. I don't know if they're going to test Christian Gonzalez very much or what they're going to be doing.
They can just go away from him the whole game.
They
kind of like what the Rams did. It's like, oh, Gonzalez is over here. Let's just throw to the other side of the field.
Exactly. Or they just run the ball a lot, which, it's going to be tough to get turnovers when James Conner's terminating his way down the field. So, that's certainly a big one, and it's something that this defense has been pretty weak at this year.
Yeah, other than Gonzalez, I mean, on the other side, I guess the plus is that the Cardinals are not a pick-happy team either.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to, like, win the turnover battle, I think it just is going to be an extremely narrow margin.
Yeah, probably. All right, what's key number two?
Two, you got to be able to run the football. Let's see this running game get going. Then all of a sudden we'll open up the play action game.
All right. I feel like this is a key most weeks, and it just doesn't ever quite click.
They ran the ball okay against the Colts, right?
They did. Stevenson had a decent game, 70-something yards, I want to say.
He averaged like 4 yards a carry for the first time like all year, basically.
And May had a couple good runs. And, overall, I think that was one of their better – running games, but you saw what that did. I mean, yeah, they ran the ball pretty effectively against Indy, and they still couldn't stop them, and they still couldn't really get explosive plays going. And I think that there's something to be said for that. Obviously, you want to run the ball, establish the run, get the play action going, and all that other stuff. But you need to be able to do more than that if you want to win games in the NFL.
I'd also like to see more Antonio Gibson. I mean, if you're going to try to figure out through these last 4 weeks what you have, Antonio Gibson has never really taken off during this season. And I think that there is a spot for him, especially a little bit more in the passing game, which they really haven't used him at all. But if you can just combine that, find some role for him here.
Yeah, Gibson is averaging a full yard per carry more than Stevenson this year.
That's wild.
He's a 4.7. Stevenson's 3.7. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, he hasn't played as much, obviously. And
I also think that that's, like, situation-based, right? Like, a lot of Gibson's carries are those draws on third and long, where it's like the defense isn't worried about giving up 7 yards on the carry because you need 14. So I think those are, like, those numbers, yeah, he technically has more yards per carry, but, like, at the same time, those can be kind of weird.
They can be, and it doesn't always tell the entire story, but I do think it does speak to Stevenson and the year he's having.
Yeah, he's not having a good year. But again, in large part, as we've talked about all show, like in large part that's due to the offensive line not being very good.
Right, that's true. I mean, I do think Stevenson's kind of a classic cat. There's a reason why Bill Belichick drafted another running back every 2 years.
Yeah, God, why did we pay him $9 million a year?
I don't know. I thought that was a mistake.
And I lost my mind that day.
I liked him in college. I liked the first couple of seasons here, but I thought last year in particular, you could tell he's lost a step.
Yeah,
and I know he was hurt, but I mean, that doesn't help. It doesn't help his case.
And like you pay $9 million to a guy who's like a workhorse back. He is just not that. I'd rather you just pay the extra $4.5 million and get Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Not to mention the fact he opened the season by fumbling every single time he touched the freaking ball.
Insane. True.
Insane.
Which was ridiculous. And then he had a long break where he didn't, and then I think he's fumbled in two of the last three games again, so he's got that going back in his game, which, again, you know, this is not to say that Ramondre Stevenson is no use on the team or anything, or that he was, he's a terrible player or whatever, but he is this year, I think, taking a considerable step back, and that's a problem. You know, there were a lot of running backs who were in free agency last year. Maybe none of them wanted to come here, but you kind of look back at it and think, man, you know, any of those guys would have been nice compared to what you have this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, what's key number three?
And number three, the one thing the Arizona Cardinals love to do is run the football. You have to be able to stop the run. Those are the three keys to the game today, it's your boy Wig.
All right, Wiggy, thank you. That is the biggest one, I think. If they want to have a chance at winning this game today, and this, I think, hinges more on their success or lack thereof, is can they stop James Conner? Can they stop Kyler Murray? I don't know who their other running back is, but that's basically it right there. If there's a push up front and the defensive line's getting dominated like they have been for I don't know how many weeks in a row now, then this isn't going to be a close game, I don't think. I think that Drake May is going to be sitting on the sideline watching them march up and down the field, and that's just become all too familiar of a sight for this team.
Yeah, I'm not confident in the defensive game planning of this team, which is kind of crazy going into the year. You thought that the one thing that Gerard Mayo would have would be all the concepts of that from playing under and coaching under Bill Belichick on the defensive side of the ball. And so it's not even necessarily just about, okay, you know, you got Christian Barmore back taking snaps. You got Jabril Peppers back. And so he should help out that secondary. Hopefully Kyle Duggar is a little bit healthier. But it just has not, like, the approach just has been a little bit nonsensical against a lot of these teams.
Yeah, it's brutal. And, like, the inability to tackle, too, is what concerns me the most with a big physical back like James Conner. It's just like, these dudes sometimes just don't even want it. And a lot of time, I think it's about effort and will, and sometimes...
Do you think it's like a business decision?
No, maybe. Like, I just don't know. Sometimes, I don't know.
It's a very long pause.
Guy like Jelani Tavai, I don't think is making business decisions, but like, some of these safeties might be. I don't know. Kyle Duggar has not been good. He needs to be up in the box tackling James Conner. Like, that needs to happen, and I'm not entirely positive it will.
Yeah, this is this to me reminds me of the Colts game. You know, a strong running back, a mobile quarterback, not the same kind of mobility as you pointed out. I mean, Richardson's much more of a punishing runner than a guy like Kyler Murray is, this little twerp running around. But
Taylor
still,
and Connor are similar. Like, I would give you that. And Taylor ran for 100 yards on you.
Yeah, and most opposing running backs have pretty good days against the
Patriots. This is incredibly offensive from the text line. Mego seems like the type of person that puts antlers and a nose on her car this time of year.
Do you do that?
No.
No? I can see why people think you might, though.
Excuse me?
Speaking of this, by the way, have you seen the trend of, like, all of these people putting Christmas lights all over their car?
I saw that on a Cybertruck the other
day. When you were driving in today? Somebody had a Christmas tree with fake snow on top of their car, and then they had the lights all over their car. I was like, are they in a parade?
People are using, like, Scotch tape to put Christmas lights all over their car. I'm like, what are we doing? Are we, like, in, like, fourth grade? What are we doing? First of all, I'm pretty sure that's illegal. Second of all, like, that's a dumb idea. Why do people insist on doing stuff like that?
I saw a cyber car wrapped in Christmas light, and it looked like, you remember in, like, middle school?
Those dumb-looking cyber trucks?
Yeah, it was a Cybertruck, but it had, the lights were wrapped all around it, and it looked like, you remember in middle school when you get your class picture and there was the one with, like, the lasers behind it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looked like the laser thing. It was, like, it was, like, pink and, like, day glow blue, and I was like, what is happening here? What is going on? And I do think it's illegal to have lights like that on your car, too.
Yeah, especially if they're red. I know for a fact it's illegal, because I'm pretty sure we did, like, a news story about it. A car got pulled over in, like, Omaha, because it had red Christmas lights on it. I'm like, no, that's technically, like, impersonating a cop car, technically, even though it's not that's not what your intention is.
Fascinating a nerd.
It's just
really
so
is.
Dumb. It's
I
like,
do
why?
Not have antlers and a nose on my car. I have never done that.
Do you put like a Frosty the Snowman on the on the front of your car?
I don't decorate my car for Christmas. My car is covered in garbage. Like, that's the closest thing it has to decorations.
Yeah. I mean, that is, you only see a few of those now on the road. Like, I haven't seen that many of them this year. But, that's...
I like when one of them cuts me off and, like, flicks me off. Like, thanks, Rudolph.
Right back at you. There you go. All right, 617-779-7937. Does Mego put antlers and a nose on her car? Vote now.
I'm just kidding, WEEI.com.
Quick break. When we return, we'll be joined in the final hour by Andy Hart. We will pop, lock, and drop with all our picks for the week and what we think is going to be happening in the 1 o'clock games, as well as a pretty good slate of games. Other than you, Patriots, pretty good slate of games there in the 425 hour. We'll get to all of that next.